Hello, welcome in to a fresh new episode of Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio with me, Clara Apollo, and my special, special guest, Rose Alchemist Sandy Humby. Welcome into the show, Sandy.
Yeah, lovely to see you. Lovely to connect.
As always. So Mother Speaks is a radio show that sort of began, birthed through the Wake Up Mother community, the book that we all co-wrote. And there's a whole group of us that have contributed to this show so far, but it seems to be evolving. And so we've had a few shenanigans, going to be honest, behind the scenes. Dear Sarah had done a lovely interview with Kate Usher all about her managing the menopausal midlife mayhem. But unfortunately, the audio file was completely scrambled, and so we weren't able to use it. And so I'm literally recording this with Sandy at the last minute for you, Sandy. So thank you so much for jumping into the breach, my dear friend. Sandy's a rose alchemist, she's a pranic healer, she's a space clearer, she's an all-round wonder woman, very, very good friend of mine. She supports me in the background, as I hope that I offer you support as well, and that we do find that, because we're both solo entrepreneurs in this spiritual energetic community, that we need this sisterly sort of support, don't we? Because without it, it's a lonely old process. So this is what we want to speak into, the conundrums and some of the funny stuff that happens as well that we have to manage. And I mean, maybe let's just start right now with what happened before you got on the call, Sandy.
Oh, well, I just had a tech nightmare. It's an ongoing thing, isn't it? You know, if you know, by nature, I'm a creative. That's who I am. I mean, my background was as a couture wedding dress designer for 18 years. So, you know, the love of creating beauty and being in the moment and in the flow sits as a slightly uncomfortable juxtaposition to having to navigate as someone interfacing with the world, the technology. And if you don't have really good tech support, and by your nature, your energy is not so aligned to technology. For me, it's wonderful when it works. Yeah. I so appreciate what doorways my computer offers me in connection with people around the world. But when it doesn't work, it's a nightmare. And it's one of the things that actually has the real potential to send me spinning or into overwhelm. Yeah. In not knowing quite what is the best thing to do to deal with it. And I know, you know, some of us that we've managed to get ourselves, you know, a skill set in one facet of this technology world,
yeah,
and others of us that are creatives or work within the healing arts, it isn't such a comfortable bedfellow.
It's not. You're so right. We're having to straddle these different areas of our business and our lives, and I think this is what it's such a pull on our energies as to where we place. We can only put our energy on one thing at one time. And when we've got several things on the go, and I know if you're out there listening, you know exactly what you mean by this. You're having to keep your eye on all these balls that are juggling. And it can just be too much sometimes, because you're being stretched as well into different arenas, aren't you? And it's like tech head is very different to holding your amazing rose reading sessions or whatever else that you're bringing through. It's a different energy. It's a different aspect of yourself. So we're going to be talking about some tools and techniques that both of us use to help us come back to center, to be able to manage ourselves when the tech funk happens, when you find that you're still working and it's sort of 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and you know you have to go to sleep, but stuff has just got to get done. But it's this frying of your own energy. That's the piece that's got me around. if we're energy workers and we're sharing all of this wisdom about taking care of yourself, and yet our businesses are demanding that we have to take ourselves right to the edge far too many times, it's like, oh, sorry, it's one of my, I'm very frustrated about this. Yeah.
I think for me, more than anything else, it is the fact that it requires me to be sitting at a screen far longer than I would like to. And also, I find I don't read very well from a screen. You know, if things come in where there's several pages that need to be read through, I end up having to hard copy them because the words dance. When I've sat too long at a screen, the words dance. And also, you know that you are within this field of blue screen and you are in this field of the EMFs, regardless of the shungite or the, you know, the dots or whatever else you might have as an extra support on your screen, without being able to go and stand outside and take your shoes off and stand on the grass. How do we decompress that level of the tech frequency?
Yeah.
And, you know, and this is the dance, isn't it? Because actually the technology allows us amazing opportunities, like you and I speaking today, although we don't live that far away from one another, it's 35 minutes or whatever. It allows us to have these conversations and to share that wisdom into a greater pot, but it
I was going to say there's a sacrifice, and the sacrifice is sort of, it's invisible because you can't see it, you can feel it, and I know that you're highly sensitive, as am I. You know, we pick up on the energies of things, but we also have this very strong work ethic that there's an override, right?
Yeah.
We override what we know we're feeling. And that's, I think, where the frustration comes in, when you know that you should go and rest or plant yourself in the earth. But yet you just have to keep going.
Yeah, and I have waves of the place where it pushes me completely to the edge. And in the cottage that I'm living, I have to walk through the kitchen, obviously, to get outside. And the question mark is, do I go for a chocolate biscuit, or do I go and stand on the grass?
Both, exactly. Just grab the chocolate biscuit on the way out. Job done.
But, you know, do you know what I mean? Sometimes it's like, what's the salve?
Yeah.
What is the salve that is needed here that is going to, that's not a good habit.
But the other one that's coming up is your laughter. And I know that this is something, slightly hysterical laughter, not going to lie, but laughter does lighten your energy. And when you can have a moment, just how flipping ridiculous it all is, you just got to laugh. And I think that really does help to bring yourself back to you and kind of just not, it's from that intensity. It's like, step away, have a bit of a laugh at the ridiculousness of it all, and then do some breaths or do something that takes you away from the, as you say, the EMF screens and the light that's being emitted here. As you say, the trickiness of reading print all the time. I'm the same as you. I struggle with that for too long. I can do it for a bit. But so there's something that must go on with our eyes receiving. I know there's science behind all of this as well. So what is your... So we've already ascertained, go outside with a chocolate biscuit or not. and we also know that having your feet on the true planet surface, so taking your shoes and socks off. Now, you've got that where you are, but I've got concrete here because I've got a courtyard garden. So I'm sort of thinking, should I get a little raised bed and get myself some turf so that I've actually got some earth and grass to stand on? I am serious. I'm really seriously thinking about doing this, because the difference that there is when I put my fingers in the earth, for instance, I can feel the energy of the earth coming up. You know, the plant pots, the plants are all getting it. Well, where can I plant my feet in the soil? I'm going to have to get a couple of plant pots, aren't I? One for each foot. whole new slant on platform shoes.
But this is the thing, you know, if you look at the development of go to something like shoes, look at the development of shoes. So in early times, shoes, the bottom of shoes was leather. Now, the energy goes through leather. So if you were walking in early times along a track, for instance, you know, a farm track or, you know, a lane, you would, even having a leather-soled shoes on, you would have direct connection with the energy of the earth. It would be received into your soul chakras. It travels up through from your soul chakras to your knees and to your hips, to your base chakra. So what it's doing is it's recharging the base chakra and allowing you to feel that sense of strength and resource in your body. Trainers don't do that. You know, man-made soles on shoes don't do that. They act as a barrier between the soles of our feet. So the chakras in the center of the soles of our feet that need to dialogue with the earth to allow us to decompress, to allow us to have connection with that negative ionization that is the gift of nature. It's the gift of walking by the sea, you know, but it's also the gift of walking on grass and amongst the trees.
And, so important to recognize this, that most shoes now have got rubber soles. I'm thinking of that Beatles album, but we're not going to play a Beatles track. But we, so either get yourself some, you know, well, canvas. The thing is, it's about, I used to wear a lot of espadrilles. I used to have an espadrille in every color. I've got a whole rainbow of espadrilles. And of course, they're like rope soles. So
yes, jute, mostly. Most of them are jute.
Yes.
And originally it was sort of almost like a latex rubber type. So it's a very thin sole, isn't it, on the bottom that they put now, so that you, if it rains, you don't get completely.
Okay, that is it. They're not ideal for the UK. So this is the problem when you live in Clement weather. So we're both in Somerset here on the Avalon land, and we have been having an absolute deluge recently, you know, but there's something gorgeous about the water element that I know you love too. But the way that it soaks up into the earth, and it's like when we can be with that, if it's not too cold, it's quite nice putting your feet in puddles, isn't it, on the muddy earth. I quite was a bit of a splashtastic time there.
You keep your own pattern.
Is this mad woman over there? She comes and splashes with bare feet in the puddles. Something wrong with her. I'm just sorting out my negative ions, don't mind me, just go around with your rubber sole. Anyway, does bring us to the first track, right? And whenever I'm hanging out with Sandy, the theme of roses looms beautiful and radiant and fragrant. And this is a track that I actually sent to you a little while back. It's by Isla Schaefer. It's called Rose. And it just speaks so perfectly of how I feel about the strength that you have and the strength of the rose. So enjoy this. And we'll be back with Sandy Humby and myself. After the break.
Softening, softening, softening all the hardness. Melting, melting, melting all that's frozen. Letting go of the sorrow. Expressions of the divine. We are woman. We are bringers of life. We are vessels of love. We are expressions of the divine. Sister, hold my hand. You are stronger than you know. We are opening to love. We are learning how to grow. We are returning. We are vessels of love. We are expressions of the divine. We are woman. We are bringers of life. We are vessels of love. We are expressions of the divine. Sister, hold my hand. You're stronger.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Kiss me quick. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back into part two of Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio with myself, Clara Apollo, and my friend Sandy Humby, who has jumped in at the last minute to do this off-the-cuff interview. It's actually a conversation, isn't it, Sandy, really? Yeah.
It is. And it's, you know, it's along the lines of conversations that you and I often have around how do we manage our energy? How do we bring the tools and technologies that we've both mastered over the years, and that we would share, we share with others in our classes and our trainings. But how do we use them for ourselves? Because we know we can't take anybody anywhere we haven't been. So, you know, our work and our mastery, if you like, is being able to recognize what tools we've got in the bag and then remembering to take them out.
For
because
ourselves.
It's a bit like having food in the fridge and starving because you haven't opened the door.
Yes, it is. Or cooked it.
Yeah.
And it was interesting that, like, before the break, the first chat that we had that was about, you know, the, I was getting into the serious business of the energy work. We both mentioned the earth and the earth element and the earth chakras and the, you know, the fact that that is the first port of call, isn't it? In whatever way you can, to remember that you are always supported by the earth, you know, and just even thinking about that now and taking a breath into it. And as you breathe out, let yourself surrender into what's underneath you so that you can actually feel that support, which is all linked to the support of the Great Mother.
Yeah. I mean, often if I'm taking, you know, a group into a meditation, I'll bring them into connection with the weight of the body sitting on the chair and feet on the floor, just allowing the chair to support our physical bodies. And it, and what it does is it allows you to sort of drop the need to hold the body, but allow for that sort of just that beautiful way that the body softens into being supported.
And this is bringing in the word surrender. This is where do we let ourselves surrender, which when you're working, when you're running your own business, you're running your home, whatever, maybe you don't have a partner, neither Sandy or I currently have partners. We do have pussycats, though. We do. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole right now, but we could. But that idea of where do we soften, where do we surrender? And you're so right. When we let ourselves feel the weight of our bodies in the chair on the floor, it's like, oh yeah, you can relax and release. And I'm thinking of the Wu Qi standing structure in Qigong, that's an actual standing relaxation. It's like, how often do you think that actually standing could be relaxing? But it can be, because you can not only trust the ground underneath you, but also the strength of your bones inside you and your energy system.
But it's a very softened stance, that, isn't it? Because yes. I mean, so even if you were stood in the queue in the supermarket or a queue at a bus stop, queue in the bank, whatever, there is nothing that is stopping you from actually consciously resting your body into that softened place. You know, using every opportunity we have. It's like when we've been to the supermarket, when we get into the car, do we take a couple of minutes just to recalibrate, just to focus on the breath? Because if we focus on the breath going in and out of the body, and particularly if we can make the out breath just that little bit longer, it allows the central nervous system to reset. And we're then in a much more consciously present place to take that drive home. Or, beautiful. You know, wherever it is we're going.
And that is actually reminding me of taking breaths and space in between tasks. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but when you finish a task online, you've just uploaded that thing and you're like, great, I can get on to the next thing. It's like, whoa, 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 there's a little moment there, a little moment to sit back, to ground, to earth, to connect, to breathe, and also to give yourself a bit of acknowledgement that you've just achieved something. Because when you work on your own, you don't get that. You don't have team members, do you? You know, it's all easy to bypass.
There's a beautiful body of work by an Armenian mystic called Gurdjieff, who speaks about the wheel of our lives and how important it is to come to the hub, that we can spend all of our lives out on the wheel, in drama, in activity. And what he speaks of is the power of the hub coming into the center of ourselves, coming into our presence and our being and our breath before we take that next journey up a spoke to the next piece of activity. And it is a mastery in itself. I know I spent several years at a philosophy school mastering this. That was one of the key teachings of the school, was to bring your attention between your fingertips and the surfaces that you were touching. You know, if you picked up a pencil, just really noticing the pencil underneath your hand, or the feel of the paper as opposed to the feel of the desk. You know, and if you were washing up, being aware of the hands in the water and the feel against the plate. You know, and so often we're here. We're in this. The monkey mind is going round all the time. Mm-hmm. And we miss the sensations. We miss the embodiment practices that would really help us.
And they are only in the now moment. You know, you can only notice this stuff now. And that's another drawing back into. I remember when I first started my Qigong training, it was like years ago now. 30 years ago, oh my word. But I didn't know about mindfulness. I was always thinking about what I need to do next. I was a young single mum. You kind of have to be, you know, on it. But to come into that practice, to actually be drawn into the now moment by noticing, how does it feel with my feet on the ground? How do my knees feel? Would I bounce them a little bit and so they're not actually locked? How does my pelvis feel? It's like, what? I was like blown away that there was so much going on that I'd never noticed, because I hadn't had a minute and nobody had pointed it out to me, or I hadn't read the right books or whatever. But it's that there's this richness with yourself, with this, as you say, embodiment practice in the now moment that wants to help you.
I'm sure actually that it's one of those awarenesses that come with age as we move towards the sort of the mother queen crone energy, that we bring a lot more presence to the body, because obviously the body is changing. This vessel, which is of the earth, every element of this body is of the earth. It is made of earth, air, fire, and water. These are the constituent elements of this vessel that I'm journeying in. But as we age, we become more and more aware of the body. And I think certainly my journey has been a whole a lifetime of learning embodiment, because, you know, it isn't always as a child even that we are witnessed and held safe and loved, so that we can feel that sense of attachment, a sense of connection to our bodies, an affirmation of our bodies, or even that we are loved or lovable. I mean, this is the work of the wonderful Dr. Gabor Maté,
yes,
who speaks of the dance between attachment and authenticity. You know, how attached and connected are we to our parents? How do we feel safe and loved? And that sets the template for our ongoing journey. So in this journey of authenticity, this journey of sacred homecoming to self, naturally there is a calling, a drawing back within. And so this natural process of reconnecting with ourselves is probably one of the greatest gifts as we mature. The awareness of the changing of the body, the awareness of the spirit and the soul that is contained in this vessel that this vessel houses. And so we know this is a whole journey, a whole thread back in. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, your sacred practice with the Qigong, you know, is an elemental practice, mm-hmm, of coming back, mm-hmm, within. Now, as is my work with the roses, and in particular of recent times with the rose dragons.
Yes. You know,
coming in to connect with the energies of the earth. What is Gaia showing us? What is she revealing for our attention? I mean, now actually, while we've been speaking, it's now absolutely chucking it down with rain again.
Oh, it's got to you, because it just yeah, before we came on, I had to bring my washing in. Did it? But I just want to pick you up on that, yeah, thing about that, the relationship with yourself. That I think we need courage to do that, and curiosity, yeah, and this bringing, yeah, yourself back home. I know when I was home free for 5 years, which is actually how I first met Sandy. And we're not going to go down that story, because actually that is on an episode of Chi Time somewhere. But it was that idea, where is home? It was my question. Where is, mm-hmm, home? And of course, I needed to actually get rid of having a physical home to find out, where is the home within me? Where do I feel that? Where is that? Where is it? You know, and, yeah, and it's an ongoing process as well. Where do I feel safe to home myself? And that, you know, as you said, the work that we do using the elements to bring us into home, calling yourself back home, calling yourself in. Because you said also that, you know, that your soul is in your body, in your consciousness. Now, this is a question that I would love to discuss with you. Is it really? Is the soul can only inhabit your body if your body feels safe to do so and your heart is soft enough to receive it?
Mm. This is, you know, what in my terminology would be in ensouling self. So, you know, coming to this place of fully ensouled. And it's an interesting thing, because it's one of those things that I've been really exploring for myself, because there was trauma in my childhood, emotional and physical trauma in my childhood, not sexual trauma. But it meant that, you know, that there has been for a long part of my life a real difficulty with being in body. Mm. You know, I spent a lot of time trying to get out of my body. I started meditation in the early 90s to get out of my body, not in it, because my body didn't feel a safe place to be, because it wasn't a safe place for me to be as a child. And so the whole journey of bringing ourselves home, bringing ourselves in to understand that this is our sacred place. This is our sacred home. And the connection in to, I guess what I would term through my rose work, this work with the five wounds of abandonment, betrayal, denial, judgment, and separation. Mm. So when we start to bring consciousness and conscious awareness, we're not automatically playing out the patterns, but going, there is something here that I need to deal with. Most of the trauma that we hold in our bodies is connected to one of those five wounds. Mm. And so when we can start to self, when we can find the selves that allow us to soften and to bring a conscious attention to these storylines that this vessel holds.
That's lovely. So I love the fact that you've brought up meditation, because we're going to play a track now, which is called Kiss of the Rose by Deuter and Annette Cantor. And I'm just wondering if you could just say those five wounds again, so we can invite you to, while you're listening to this track, to just consider these and just see how that lands for you.
Yeah. And I'll give the chakras that they're in too. They're embodied in, because actually wherever we're feeling discomfort or have some health issues running perhaps, or just contracted energy, it will give you an indication of to explore that particular heart trauma. So in the base chakra is the wound of abandonment. In the solar plexus is the wound of betrayal. In the throat is the wound of denial. In the third eye, or the forehead chakra, is the wound of judgment, and in the crown chakra is the wound of separation, feeling disconnected from source.
Station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So here we are, back on Mother Speaks. I nearly said cheat time, but we're on Mother Speaks here on UK Health Radio with myself, Clara Apollo, Sandy Humby, my guest, my esteemed guest, the Rose Alchemist. She just talked us through an interesting consideration before that beautiful track, The Kiss of the Rose. And I just wonder how that was for you with that, with those sort of, it's just even putting names to those wounds. And I remember when I came and I did the rose courses with you, and you had these beautiful roses that were assigned to each of these wounds. And I'm like, oh, I'm fine. I'll be all right. Don't worry about me. I was being super courageous. I'm on the road. I haven't got a home. I can find it. I'm good. I'll just run my qigong again. And I'll, you know, all this creeping armory going on. And the roses just got in there, didn't they? They just got in there and said, it's actually okay to feel abandoned. It's okay to feel that maybe you've been betrayed, you know, and there was a real salve that came through. I mean, the beautiful Rose Oracle deck that you have that you can find on, what's your website? Rosealchemy.com, is it?
Yep.
Yeah. And so we'd be using these roses, and because Sandy's a beautiful photographer as well, so the way that you capture the essence of the rose in these photographs, there's actually there's a healing frequency in them. So you place them on your body, and I'm like, ooh. And then you end up strapping them to your body. You know, you've got one on your sacrum, so down your leggings kind of thing. Because it's this working with the natural healing frequencies that are there for us to resonate with and respond to if we can again soften and surrender to their wisdom, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the roses came to me from a trip to the Alhambra in Granada in Spain. I didn't even know that there were rose gardens there. I just felt a really strong pull to go and came back with all these photographs of beautiful roses in the rose gardens there. And I woke up a couple of days later and there was just this voice in my head that said, we'd like you to put 11 of us together and work with us. You know, we've come to heal the Magdalene wound. We've come to heal these wounded aspects of the feminine in both men and women, but that it's always been the women that have sought the healing first for their children, for their families and their communities. And it was an incremental process. It took me about 4 years to bring through the first edition of the Rose Oracle. It was published in 2014. But you're right, Clara. You know, the first 11 came together as a healing grid on the body. And by putting the roses on the body, the geometry, the hidden geometry, the sacred geometry of the roses, which is connected to pentagram, and very much connected to the pattern of Venus in the heavens. So it creates a beautiful mandala, but it's a healing balm because it's resonant to the growth proportion of our bodies. And it speaks to the heart. The roses are just pure love. Mm. They have no other agenda other than to help us to navigate through those areas of our story that is still holding an energy charge or some pain for us. And, you know, when I've done the big exhibitions in London and I've put the roses out like a spiral on the table and invited people to just scan their eyes around the the frequencies or the roses, and then to see where their eyes are drawn. You know, I've had people that have just picked the rose card up and put it to their heart and just burst into tears.
Yeah.
And you know then that the rose has unlocked something that is deep, because when there's tears that come from anything, it's an opportunity for a story to release at a cellular level. So they are magical.
They have this ability of holding that frequency of being held. And like that first track, you know, Sister, hold my hand, you're stronger than you know. That's what coming into my first connection with the roses and you was. Let me hold your hand. You don't have to be brave all the time. I know you're strong, but there's a different strength that you can tap into now. And I think when we look at self-care while we're running our businesses and families and all sorts, when we're distracted, we're taken out of ourselves so much, where's that calling in? And if you've got rose bushes, or you can buy yourself some roses or something, and now knowing that there's a sacred geometry within there that just wants to bring you back to love, then that's another tool that can be used in your everyday life to remind you of your essential essence.
The other aspect, if we're talking about essential essences, of course, is, you know, the use of essential oils these days, which are much more available than they used to be. But I mean, rose oil obviously is, is the obvious one for heart distress. And it's actually rose oil is one of the oils that was used in the anointing of King Charles last weekend.
Okay.
So, you know, what it does is it activates a very high frequency field of being. But, you know, there's a lot of the beautiful essential oils that are around and very available now. They offer us another way of decompressing, of coming back to self, of nurture. And what I was reminded when you said about, you know, that this is Mother Speaks. This is really about mothering ourselves.
Totally.
You know, we have to be, particularly those of us, you know, as we move into sort of queen crone energy, and often our own physical, I mean, my mother, my physical mother, birth mother, isn't in incarnation. I know yours is still with us. But we move to places where there was a shift in the dynamics anyway, as our mothers enter later years, where we actually step forward more in the caretaking role of finding that other aspect of mother to give to our mothers. But then who do we rest into?
Exactly. And I think this changing the word from self-care to self-mother has been absolutely huge for me. Because it's a question, where do you mother yourself? Because mother can be tough as well as she can be gentle. It's, what do I need from mother right now? Well, why don't you ask her? Why don't you give yourself some time and space to breathe into her support, to maybe smell the fragrance of some of her bountiful blossoms, and then listen, what is it I need right now?
It's interesting, isn't it? I've never thought of it in this way before. But, you know, wherever we are, we're on an axis between the child and our mothers. So we are either mothering in a child, or we are, you know, reaching forward to mother the mother, if you know what I mean, particularly in later years.
I must say, my mother doesn't like being mothered by anybody. She's very, gets on with it herself. But I remember I was in the kitchen with her not long ago, and I remember saying to her, can I help you? Oh, no, I'm fine. It's my kitchen. It'll be fine. I said, look, mum, I'm the eldest. Actually, I never call her mum, not allowed. I say, why don't you let me help you? And I said to her, look, you trained me for this. You trained me to be your helper. Just give me a little job. And then I told her a story about when I go around to my girlfriend's houses and we're in each other's kitchens. We just thought, there's a bit of washing up needs doing. We'll just carry on with that. We'll make each other cups of tea. It's like my kitchen is your kitchen sort of thing, with respect, obviously. And she was like, really? And then I realized how much oh, how much that is so lovely with our sisterhood, that we do help each other out in the hearth of the home, which of course is the kitchen. And so she relinquishes now and she lets me help her. So,
but this must have come from sort of like the 1950s sort of era, whereby, you know, it was like, you know, the keeping up with the Joneses and, and the whole thing of, you know, that the having my, you know, house proud and
got to be me, it's female, all mine,
the female being in control of the kitchen.
Yeah,
I mean, it's actually interesting from the psychology of spaces that whoever is emotionally is whoever is in charge of the kitchen, whoever is, that's their space, if you it holds the emotional template for the whole family.
Wow.
So there's something to do with the what is now our contemporary hearth, our heart of the home, because the cooker has become the fire, the hearth. There is something there about the role of nurturer within the family that means that you hold the emotional template for
as well the
space, for the house, for the home, for the household.
There's that hold word again, the holding, the calling. And so we're coming towards the end of this discussion, actually, Sandy. Can you believe it? We thank you so much. And just feeling into that last piece about the heart and the kitchen and the community. And when we can share some of these holdings, when we realize it's not just our responsibility, we may be really good at making the bread and someone else is great at making the jam, you know, that kind of thing, where we can be together in our communal spaces, or however we do that at the moment and until we get our bigger communities. But have you got a feeling that this is where we're going with this, so that we're not so on our own, you know, that the isolation piece gets solved as well, when we can live alongside people in our own abode, don't get me wrong, but next door to, or just down the street from.
I think that, you know, that is very true. And I think if nothing else, this last few years has taught us a lot about our relationship with home. And it's also taught us very much to treasure, you know, our family and loved ones, because life, you know, can change in an instant, and there is something about how we come together in, I'm really understanding that frequency is the new currency.
Totally.
Frequency is the attractor factor. I mean, it's even like when I was making the wedding dresses and I would ask, you know, how did you meet your beloved? It was always very clear that the attractor factor that brought the two together was the frequency of the heart.
The frequency of the heart, yes. And that's what guides us. That's the truth. Because the heart cannot lie. It can only truth you up. And that truth might not be easy to listen to, but it is the truth and you can trust it. And it's getting in touch with that internal barometer that's so important. And of course, it emits a frequency. And when you emit a frequency, as you say, it becomes this attractor factor. And that's so key as we move forward.
Yeah. And also that it holds both our conscious and unconscious patterning. So it's, you know, this is why the, you know, everything that we may be drawn to at this time that is way showing us to see where we're still holding patterns, where we're still holding stories, where we react, where we contract in our dynamics is a rich resource of going, oh, what's going on here? Why have I contracted? Why is my energy dropped? So ways in which we have that we can recalibrate, that we can understand the messages that this vessel, this alchemical pot of a body is showing us, and enables us to keep doing the heart work. And it's the heart work that ultimately is going to enable us to travel light as light and it is the attractor factor that brings us into community. It brings us into resonance with those that are of like frequency, and that really, those are the heart communities that I feel will be our future.
Definitely.
We will come together in families of frequency.
Yes.
And so whatever we can do that allows us to polish the diamond of the heart, or, you know, whether it's working with roses, whether it's working with the breath, whether it's working with Qigong, whether it's, you know, whatever your area of mastery is. And again, I feel wherever we're drawn often has a past life memory for us. You know, it's something that we've worked in previous times.
Oh, Sandy Humby, you see, you just got to get you going, and you've got so much to share with us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, and I hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode of Mother Speaks. And if you want to find out more about Sandy Humby, where can they go to, my dear?
Well, there's two websites. There is rosealchemy.com, which is all of my work with the roses and of later times, the rose dragons. And also, if you're interested in my work with spaces, there is another website called sandyhumby.com.
Brilliant. And she's all over the socials as well. She's much better at that than I am. As Sandra Marie Humby, that's H-U-M-B-Y.
Or Rose Alchemy on Insta.
Oh, okay. Brilliant. And all those beautiful pictures as well. Oh, such a joy.
Flood the world with beauty.
Flood the world with the treasures of your beauty, yes. So if you've enjoyed listening to this episode of Mother Speaks, then you can listen on demand here on UK Health Radio or on our podcast stream, which is on Spotify as part of the UK Health Radio new thing that's going on, which is much more accessible. But you don't get the tunes. But I will add these tunes to the Spotify playlist, Mother Speaks Spotify playlist, so you'll get to hear them. And if you want to find out more about the Wake Up Mother community, then it's wakeupmother.com or the wakeupmother.substack.com. We've got lots of supportive material on there. And I have an app called the Apollo Qi app. That's Apollo QI app, where I have access to qiful activities, things that can help you unwind and resource. And if you want to find out about what I'm doing in my courses, the new things that are coming through, like that calling home your sacred self. Oh, I can't wait to get onto that with the elements, which is something that Sandy has really helped me to land, because I'm not just about Qigong, right? There is so much more going on with me than you can hang up. Yeah, go on.
That's going to be a super course. Absolutely super course. Waiting for that one to come out.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. Then it's clarapollo.com for that. So, yeah, just take care of yourselves. You're important. This body, this vessel, this vehicle you have, it's really important to look after it, because the older you get, and believe you me, Sandy and I know this aging thing, and it's really worth looking after yourself, because when you get into your 60s, you'll thank yourselves for doing so. So take care. Be your own mother, and we'll see you next time.